Hi, my name is Charlie, and I'll be moderating today's town hall on how to achieve a successful unemployment claim in Massachusetts. Thank you all for joining us today. I have a few programming notes I want to start off with. To those of you who are joining us over the phone, if you have questions that you would like to ask the team on this call, please dial *3 on your phone, and you will be sent to our call representative to ask your question. The earlier you press *3, the more likely you will be able to get your question answered today. If your question does not get answered today, there will be additional opportunities to ask questions, as we will be holding these town halls nearly every day until everyone's questions are answered. For those of you with a computer access, you can watch an accompanying live visual presentation to this call by clicking on the web link at mass.gov/unemployment/townhall. Again, that is mass.gov/unemployment/townhall. Those watching from the web can also submit questions online as well as sign up for future town halls over the phone. Also, I recommend either joining us by phone or by the web, but not both at the same time, as there can be a lag in the audio if you do that. With that, I'm going to send it over to Secretary of Labor and Workforce Development, Rosalyn Acosta. Secretary?
Thank you, Charlie, and thank you everyone for joining us on this call today. I know these are challenging and difficult times, and why we wanted to hold this session today. The scale of increased demand on the unemployment system as a result of COVID-19 has been unprecedented. I also want to let you know that our staff is doing everything possible to help you in this situation. They came into the office all last week and this weekend, not just to help meet the unprecedented demand coming into the unemployment system, but also to develop remote work capabilities so that we can meet the volume of calls in a way that will also limit the spread of COVID-19. The people who work here care so much about getting all of you the help you need, and they haven't let up for a moment on meeting the task at hand. They took these jobs because they want to help people, and they are laser focused on making sure that all of our constituents continue to have the personal assistance they need to achieve a successful unemployment claim. Fortunately, our digital systems have been able to meet that demand. Thanks to our previous work of moving the unemployment system to the cloud, the first state agency in the country to do so, we were able to keep online functionality for new claimants during this crisis. That has not been the case in many states across the country. But while our online unemployment system has met demand, our call center capabilities have not. It is staffed to good economic times by around 50 dedicated public servants, and we are moving rapidly to help meet the new normal. Due to the increased demands on the unemployment call system, the Executive Office of Labor and Workforce Development is deploying hundreds of non-core employees remotely from across the Secretariat to work on training and scaling capabilities for staff to work more quickly with all our new claimants. We are also exploring the possibility of temporarily contracting with remote call center vendors to further meet capacity until everyone gets a call back. And as Charlie said, we will be hosting daily town hall meetings where we will take constituents through a step-by-step process of achieving a successful unemployment claim and taking questions from all of you across the Commonwealth. Thank you, and let's hear how to get this done. Charlie?
Thank you, Secretary Acosta. Before we begin the question and answer portion of the call, I wanted to let our online users know that are on the web that we have a poll question which we put into your browser, which asks you to take a poll and let us know which of the questions that we put in there would be the most helpful for the Department of Unemployment Assistance to answer today. That will help us prioritize which are the most pressing questions that you need to get answered today. Now, with that, I want to introduce you to Hal. He's a manager with our customer service department. And Hal, we've got a lot of online activity right now I'm seeing on people really wanting to know about eligibility requirements and what makes them eligible for unemployment due to the COVID-19 crisis. If you can give us an answer to that question, that'd be great.
Certainly. Thank you, Charlie. So there's a lot of questions out there regarding unemployment eligibility. I know that there's a lot of uncertainty and questions for a large number of individuals who may not be familiar with the unemployment system. And due to this COVID-19 crisis, they are filing a claim for the first time, in decades. So this has affected, statewide, nationwide, our friends, our family, our neighbors, our fellow constituents here. We're all in this sometimes uncomfortable and confusing situation. So I wanted to talk about eligibility. The first thing that I get asked about all the time is regarding the work search requirements. We have, during periods of regular unemployment, very aggressive work search requirements. These are going to be interpreted to appropriately permit claimants affected by COVID-19 to be able to collect benefits. That's a very important point. We understand that a worker can be quarantined, whether it's due to the order of a civil authority or a medical professional. He may have to leave employment due to a reasonable risk of exposure or infection. He may need to leave work to take care of a family member, an older parent, or a child that's not in school because the schools are closed. So, yes, DUA, we want you to know that you can be eligible for benefits in these situations. And in these situations as well, with the work search requirements, we're not looking for you to provide medical documentation if you're affected by the COVID-19 situation. We understand that it can be very difficult to get to the doctor's office at this time. So we're only asking that you be available for work when and as able as you can be. So that's the first point. A couple other eligibility common questions I want to touch on real quick. There's been questions regarding our reemployment seminars at the Mass Higher Career Center. These requirements, if you're filing your claim due to COVID-19, have been suspended, so you're not going to be required to go to those reemployment seminars. If there are deadlines missed due to the effect of COVID-19, these can be excused under DUA's good cause provision for the lateness of meeting these deadlines. And I just want to make the point as well that this applies not just to claimants filing the claim, but the employers as well, because we recognize that COVID-19 is going to impact not just individuals, but a very large percentage of the businesses here in the Commonwealth as well. Employers whose businesses are severely impacted by COVID-19 can also request extensions from DUA for filing and paying their unemployment contributions. And one other point relating to both claimants and employers, if a claimant already has a claim prior to this COVID-19 situation, or an employer, they have an appeal with the hearings department, these are going to be held by telephone only for the time being, for obvious reasons. So while we're talking about eligibility, I don't want to step on Charlie's toes here, but I see a couple of questions that are in the online question and answer queue already. Like there's Maribel and Denise kind of have the same question online, and there's a question from Lori as well that I want to touch on real quick here as well. So Maribel and Denise are asking about having already received unemployment benefits when the COVID-19 crisis hit. They're asking if what happens when they get to their maximum number of weeks of 26 weeks. So unfortunately, under the current law, 26 weeks is the maximum amount of benefits for which you're entitled from unemployment. So once you meet that limit, you're not entitled to any more weeks, even if your claim began before this current crisis. And finally, I just want to touch on Lori's question online. She's indicating that she is in self-employment, and has not been able to work due to the COVID-19 crisis, and is asking about eligibility for benefits. Currently, self-employed individuals and 1099 contract employees are not eligible for unemployment benefits. However, if the President of the United States makes a disaster unemployment declaration for Massachusetts or for nationwide for the entire country, the self-employed and 1099 contractors would then become eligible for unemployment assistance. We have this ready to go in our system. It's coded by the systems team. It would be available almost immediately once we get the official declaration by the president and then the press release announcement. So right now, self-employed 1099 contractors are not eligible, but pay attention to the news because this disaster unemployment declaration, if that is declared, could make you eligible for benefits. Okay, I'm going to throw this back to Charlie now.
Great, thank you so much for that, Hal. I'm going to get to live callers in 1 second, but before I do so, I wonder, you know, I'm seeing in the online poll, we've already had 2,717 people submit what their most important questions are, and one of the ones that's really coming up is that they're having trouble getting a call back through the call system, and I was hoping Secretary Acosta could address that before we move to the live caller question.
Yes, thank you, Charlie. As I stated at the very beginning of our conversation, our contact center is down because of the volume that we're receiving. So the best way to get your specific question answered is to go on mass.gov/DUA and fill out the contact form, and we will call you back as soon as possible.
Thank you so much, Secretary Acosta. For our next question, I'm going to be sending it over to Hal. With Anna from Boston with a question about how long the claims will take. Anna, do you have you?
Yes, I'm here.
Thanks. Could you give us your question for Hal?
Yes, my question is that I filed my claim and went through the whole process of getting through all the questions. I answered every question as best as I could, and I think I did it right. But I'm not sure if it's approved for payment or when I will get a bank transfer or check. So how does that whole process work?
Hey, great question there, Anna. So in most cases, once you've completed that initial claims process, you need to certify for benefits each week in order to be paid. Now, to get the status of your claim, if you're looking for information on whether you are eligible or not and what that status is, and you followed all these steps like Hannah has, if you go into and log into your UI online and go to my homepage, this is the claimant homepage. And this page was designed to give you, the claimant, a quick information view of your entire claim. There's a section that talks about an overview of your benefits. Your monetary eligibility is there. It's going to include your benefit rate, weeks remaining to claim, when you should be claiming benefits. There's a payments overview section. If you are receiving payment, when that payment has gone out, the amount, how you're receiving that, direct deposit or debit card, if you're having taxes taken out. And then finally, a section at the bottom, which is messages from DUA. Any important information we need from you or to keep you informed, we have right there. Thank you.
Thank you for that question. And we're going to go to another live caller to you, Hal. We've got another question from Ellie from Quincy. Ellie, do we have you on the line?
Yeah, I'm here.
Please proceed with your question for Hal.
Okay, so I filed my claim right when I found out I was going to be laid off, and I screwed up during the process, and I made an error on one of the questions, which it was on the wages portion of it. So it said that I did not qualify for unemployment, even though I was working full time. So I just want to know if I can go back and edit the application so that I could potentially collect unemployment.
Thank you for the question, Ellie. So, yes, you can go back and update information in UI Online. Again, you want to log in just like you did when you were filing your claim or requesting benefit. And on the left-hand side of the page, there's an area that's View and Maintain Account Information. That's where you would go in and update any of that account information that you need to do. You'll see that the employment information is there, your own contact information. If there was a problem with your address, you put your phone number in wrong, you want to add an email address, you would do that there. If you forgot or to put in information about your dependent children, you can add that in at any time in the view and maintain account information section, see your monetary determination, update your payment methods. All of that is right in UI on online in that view and maintain account information section. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Now I'm going to switch back to the online questions. We've got a lot of activity that's coming in for some of our Spanish-only speakers and our bilingual speakers wondering about where they can access Spanish-only resources. Secretary Acosta, could you address that question?
Yes, I can. So I'm going to do this in Spanish first, and then I'll translate what I said from Spanish to English. Pero para las personas que hablan solamente español, por favor, el martes a las 9 de la mañana vamos a tener una sesión virtual, igual que esta, pero en español. Y si quieren más información, por favor, vayan a mass.gov/DUA. So what I just said to our Spanish audience was that we're going to have another Spanish town hall on Tuesday at 9 a.m. So if anyone on the call knows anyone that can benefit from a Spanish town hall, please direct them to mass.gov/DUA, and we will have that information on the website for people to sign up.
Thank you, Secretary. I'm going to go back to the live callers. Hal, this one's for you. It's from Victoria from Attleboro. And it's about reopening an existing claim. Victoria, do you have you on the line?
Hi, yes.
You can go forward with a question for Hal.
Okay, so my question is, I claimed the wrong week because I started too early, so now I'm trying to reopen a closed claim and claim it for the previous week. But every time I get to the point where it asks me my employment start date and my employment end date, I'm putting in January 1st, 2017, which is when I started working at a restaurant with Barry in Attleboro. And I'm putting the date that I ended, which was the 16th of this month. But at the top, it's saying that I can't go any further because the employment start date cannot be prior to the effective date of the claim, which is 3/8/2020. I'm not sure what it won't let me put the start date of when I started working at my employer. So what should I do?
So, Victoria, this is a very common situation that we come across. What happened was is when that claim gets closed and you need to reopen that claim, you're going in, and for the callers listening who haven't reopened a claim, it's just like filing a new claim, except it's a lot quicker and way easier. There's way less questions. And you would log in just like you're filing a new claim or requesting benefits. So when you're reopening the claim, the technical term that we use for a reopened claim is an additional claim. And so what the system's doing is saying you filed your claim in this situation on 3/8. So now that you're reopening it, we only want to know about how much you've worked from 3/8, after 3/8, basically, until today. So where you're putting in that January date, we don't want to go all the way back to January. We just want to know what you've done in the interim since that claim has been filed. So if you change that start date to when you went back to work after initially filing on 3/8, or what was the last day you worked after that time until the current last day of work, that's the information that we're looking for right there when you're reopening that claim. I hope that answered your question.
Thank you so much, Hal. And now I'm going to bring in a live caller for this one, but I can see from the live polling as well that this is a really common question about the status of claim, and I'm going to bring in Jahira from New Bedford. Jahira, do we have you on the line?
Yes.
So, what was your question for Hal?
This is my first time ever doing a claim. I don't think I did it right. So how do I go and change it? Because for some reason, everybody that I work with, some weeks, they've already received, like, their approval and how much they're going to get, and I haven't. and it's asking for unemployment, like, wages from last year, and I never got wages. I've never been on unemployment.
Okay, so anytime that you get a situation where you're looking for, where we're looking for information, again, we're going to point you directly to your claimant homepage to start with. You log into UI Online, go to the My Homepage, go down to the bottom of that page, and you're going to see the messages from DUA. That's going to let you know what we need from you. Now, in this situation, again, you can go over to the left side of the screen. Again, there's the view and maintain information that's there as well. And above that on the left, up on the top left, there's also what's called your claimant inbox. And in that inbox is where we're sending you our electronic request. So in this example, we're asking for additional information with wages. So you want to go in, look at your monetary determination, and in that monetary determination, there's going to be a request that you provide wages. We've probably already reached out to your employer because that's the first step that we do with these situations where there may be an issue with that. But you can also fill out the wage correction form and send that in, and that will go right into the workflow of one of our employees in the revenue side will be able to look into that information and resolve that issue for you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Hal. I want to go back to the polling questions we're getting here. It seems like another big one that we have, 230 people are asking about, that they've exhausted their unemployment benefits from a recent previous claim, and they're wondering if they're still eligible, Hal. Can you speak on that?
So if they've exhausted their benefits, unemployment is good for a period of time of 52 weeks from when you file that claim forward. So your claim is going to have a start and an end date of that 52-week period. Now, if you are still within that 52-week period and your claim has been exhausted, you've collected the maximum number of weeks for that period of time, which is currently 26 weeks under the law. Unfortunately, you're not entitled to any more weeks at this time beyond the 26 weeks. However, when that claim reaches week 52, if you have had new employment since you filed that last claim, you are eligible to file a brand new claim at that time and establish a new monetary determination and possibly be eligible for benefits based on that new employment. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for that, Hal. I just wanted to note on this, and I think it's a good point to let people know, especially for the self-employed and those who have exhausted their benefits and are no longer eligible. There is federal legislation about extended benefits that's being considered and that we're analyzing, as well as Hal already discussed, if the president were to declare disaster emergency unemployment. So please check back with our webpage for all things workforce and COVID-19 related. You can find that at www.mass.gov/unemployment/COVID-19. Again, that's mass.gov/unemployment/COVID-19, and we're going to be updating that really on a daily basis, including the FAQs, the most recent legislative guidance. There's PowerPoint presentations to take you step by step on how to file a successful claim. So it's a really good resource for those of you on the call. Now I want to get to really what's our top poll question and what I think a lot of people are having issues with, and that's about passwords. A lot of people have forgotten passwords and they're trying to figure out how to get their passwords back. So I'm going to bring in a caller from Lawrence. I believe we have Marshali. Marshali, are you on?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead. You have a question for Hal?
Question is, I've been trying to reset my password and I get like the code sent to my cell phone. And when I put in the code online, when I hit submit, it just says unexpected error. and it won't do anything from there. And then I try again, and it just keeps repeating unexpected error, and then it locks my account for 15 minutes.
So yes, Michelle, this is password resets. This is, as Charlie had said, is one of our the highest rated on the poll I'm looking at here. So a lot of questions about password resets. So what I'm actually going to do is for the people who are online, I'm going to enable a slideshow here, so you'll be able to view that information that's there right now. And have that enabled so we can follow along step by step. If you're over the phone, don't worry. Obviously, I'm going to make it easy for you to understand this information as well. You don't have to see this online. It's just something that is good to see. So in this situation, when you want to reset your password, obviously the easiest way is if you are able to just reset the password. You forgot your password, you put in your social, you click forgot password, and you are able to, in this case, the multi-factor authentication that's in this example. And that is something that we put in place last summer at the beginning of June. For DUA claimants to be able to have that verification code sent to your email, your mobile phone, via the text message, or a voice call to your phone as well. And in this situation, you should enter the code on the screen and then allow you to reset the password. There seems to be sometimes difficulty in this case. Sometimes, as what happened in this case, it locked out for 15 minutes. We recommend that you let that 15 minutes pass the lockout time, and then attempt that again. Usually there can be unexpected errors that happen with that on occasion. It usually will work that second time. Now, if you don't have that multi-factor authentication already set up, that would be anybody that had filed a claim before June 19th, there's an entirely different procedure. So you would put in that you forgot your password, and you would come to a different screen. And there's two different screens that you could see in this situation. There's one, and I saw it earlier. Somebody had asked about that in the online questions. I think it was Rebecca. And she was saying that she got a screen that came up asking about a web search user ID. Now, that will come up for people who had a claim prior to 2013. That was our online session, how we got in and claimed benefits online in our old computer system. So if you see that, I can't imagine anybody can remember their password from 7 years ago. I know I couldn't. Easiest thing, just click on the Forgot Password button. That'll bring you to the screen that if you had a claim between 2013 and 2019, this is the screen that you would see. And here is where you would want to just authenticate your information that's in the system. It's going to be, you know, your date of birth, your gender, your social security number again, and the secret question that you would have set up for yourself the last time that you had filed for unemployment benefits. Now, that secret question, I want to give a couple of helpful hints here. If you are answering those questions, if the last time you filed a claim was prior to 2013, your secret question would have been your mother's maiden name. And when you click on that Forgot Password link, that's what it's going to be asking you. We just want to give you a reminder. Before 2013, we were limited to just the first four letters of your mother's maiden name. So now the system will let you fill out the whole name, but it's only going to be correct if it's that first four letters. And then if you had a claim between 2013 and 2019, you could have multiple security questions. It'll ask you the question. One of them, for example, is, you know, the city that you were born. And if you were putting in New York, just as a reminder, you could put in New York correctly, but if you have that space in between, the system's not going to recognize that. So you want to make sure that there's no spaces in that answer. So if you put in New York, it would be New York, no spaces there. So once you've put all that information in, it should bring you to the screen where you're allowed to not only reset that password, but if you wanted to change that security question, you could do that there as well. For instance, if you had one of those old pre-2013 ones and you wanted to put the full mother's maiden name because you know you weren't going to remember the next time, it's perfectly fine. You can do that there. If it's a situation here where you've gone through all of this and, you know, you just don't have the correct answer to the security question, you're unable to, the PIN information isn't working for the multi-factor authentication, everything you put in doesn't work, and you're not able to proceed and forget that password, you do need to contact us at DUA and request a call back, just as Secretary Acosta had given that information on how to do that earlier in the call. Make sure you go to the website, request that call back, and then we'll have a DUA staff member be able to call you and help you get that password reset for you. Okay, and I'm
going to
throw it back to Charlie.
Thank you so much, Al. You know, I think this question has been actually answered in some way before, about a mistake on the claim and trying to go back, but it's been asked in a few different ways from a lot of our callers still, so I'm going to bring in Jennifer from Lawrence, Massachusetts. Jennifer, do you have you?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I have a question. By mistake, I put that, I thought I had to put my wages from this year, and I put, the question that I have is that, how do I say it? Sorry. By mistake, I put this year's wages, and it was last year's.
Oh, okay.
And the other one was that, am I supposed to earn $5,100 last year, or, like, I made it less than I thought, $5,000. Can I be eligible still?
So, yes. So all of this is a great question because it all relates to the monetary determination. This is handled by our great wage processing unit that does so much hard work for us. So, Jennifer, we do have a minimum requirement of $5,100 that you have to earn over the last 15 months. So what we have in Massachusetts is we're looking back for your last four fully completed quarters of employment. So that's not, if you're filing your claim right now, it's not including any of your 2020 wages. If you don't meet that requirement, but say that you have worked a lot in the last 2 months or so prior to filing your claim, we have what's called an alternate base period that the system will automatically request that wage information from the employer and you and put that into the system and recalculate it for you and see if we can use the last three quarters and this partial quarter in order to make you eligible for benefits. So yes, we're going to try however we can to get that information. If your monetary determination is incorrect, that information, say you were using the wages that you provided because we didn't get anything from the employer and you realize, oh my goodness, that's wrong, I put in the last year's earnings instead of the current year's. That's all fixable. Don't worry about that. Again, like we talked about, updating the information on your profile, just log into your UI online, get onto your claimant homepage, and go up to, on the left-hand side at the top is My Inbox. That's where your monetary determination is going to be. You can also see it in the View and Maintain Account Information as well. There's a section for monetary and non-monetary issues and documentation right in the View and Maintain. So go to either place. It's probably easier to go through your inbox, and you'll see in there that the monetary determination shows you the money that's earned, and if there's a page that says if this is incorrect, you can fill out that information, mail that in, scanning unit will process it into the workflow, and it'll end up in front of one of our wage processors who can review that information, update it for you. So very, very good questions, and I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Al. You know, I'm getting a lot of specific questions on kind of the step-by-step process with the claim. So, I'm going to bring it over to Hal to kind of take people through a presentation on exactly how to get to a successful claim. But I just want to also make one note that for folks who have really specific kind of questions that are trying to get an answer from our team, the best way right now is to go to mass.gov/unemployment/COVID-19, and on the right-hand side, you'll see a related section, and it says DUA contact form, and I really encourage you to use that contact form and give us a lot of specifics on exactly what you need to get done with your claim, and we'll have somebody from our team contact you as soon as possible. With that, I'm going to send it back to Hal to go through the step-by-step process on completing a successful unemployment claim.
Thank you so much, Charlie. So, yeah, big question we get is regarding the how to file my claim and make sure I do it right for the first time. So we are going to have this available. If you're logged in online, you can follow along on that PowerPoint presentation. If you're on the phone, don't worry. I'm not reading the PowerPoint line by line here. I jump around, and I'm going to focus on the important things that you need to do. And this PowerPoint is available to you online as well. So if you go to mass.gov/DUA, you can review that at any time that you want to. The whole PowerPoint is there. What I'm going to focus on first when you're filing your unemployment claim, obviously go through the website, blah, blah, blah. The most important thing is going to be when you get to that information checklist page, once you've started the application, easy page for people to just skip over and keep going. I'm going to tell you this is probably the most important page in the entire application. Making sure that you have all the documentation necessary to file the claim, all the information that we need, having that up front is the number one factor that's going to make your claim filing go smoothly and result in payments without any additional delay. So before you file the claim, when you get to this page, you're going to look at it, you're going to say, okay, I need my Social Security number, alien registration number if necessary. Make sure you have your up-to-date contact information, phone number, email address in case we need to get in touch with you. Your mailing address is correct, residential address, date of birth, your complete employment history. I can't stress enough as well, having that start date, the last day that you actually worked, the employer federal ID number if necessary, they gave that to you, the employer's address, the employer's phone number, the reason for your separation from employment, and if you're not working due to this COVID-19 crisis, if your employer doesn't have work from you, I want to emphasize this is what we consider a lack of work. You are laid off, so selecting that for your reason for separation will help the process go smoothly as well. If you have dependent children, make sure that you have their Social Security numbers and their date of birth. Getting this information into the system immediately is very helpful as well. If you're in a union, that you have that union information. If you're in the military, have that DD-214 information available. If you're a federal employer and a federal employee, have that SF-8 form there. If you're setting up direct deposit, this is very, very important. Direct deposit, we want to get that into the system as soon as possible because it does take time for the bank to validate that information when the claim is in that pre-note status. So when you can select either the debit card order direct deposit. If it's direct deposit, make sure you have that bank account number, your routing number, all of that information right there when you file the claim. If you have all that information that we need from that checklist page, this process is so much smoother. It's only going to take about 20-30 minutes to complete. So once you get past that, you have all your information there, and you start getting into the questions. I want to just bring up, we have added the emergency information related to COVID-19 to the new claims and the reopened claims process just this very week. So some great work by our folks in IT and system integration who are literally working around the clock to be able to get this system updated. So when you're in that initial claim screen, you are going to see the information about COVID-19 emergency, and we've added a question as well asking if you are out of work because you have been impacted by COVID-19. If that's the case, please say yes, because that question is going to make everyone's experience a lot easier for us to process that claim as well. Well, I've seen a question earlier in the online question and answer, so I'm going to touch on this because this screen is up right now as well. It asked about working part-time last week, and the person was saying, I just filed my claim. I don't know why they were asking this question. So maybe, you know, you were working, you're going to file your claim this week, and you say, oh, geez, you know, I only worked on Monday and Tuesday last week. I only had a partial week. You may be eligible for benefits for that partial week. So that's why we're asking that question up front. We want you to put in how many hours you worked, and if possible, we may be able to move your claim back to that partial week as your first week to make sure that you get all of those benefits that you're eligible to receive. That's why we're asking that question right up front. Claiming benefits for the first time, going to ask you again, when we've talked about the resetting the password, is that's like the most popular question we've been getting. So when you set that password up for the first time, make sure the password, the security question and answer, that you have that information is something that you can remember, because again, it can be a hassle if you don't have that information. So make sure that you're keeping track of your passwords and security questions when you initially are filing that claim. We did talk about the importance of the employer information when you're adding that work information into the system. One thing that I want to bring up that the system does that's a huge time saver for when you're filing your claim, if your employer has been reporting your earnings to us each quarter, that employer is going to show up pre-populated in your update employment section. So when you go to file the claim, instead of looking up your employer by the ID number or the name, if you work for them and they've been reporting the wages, you're going to see that employer right there. Another thing I want to bring up as well, just as a heads up, is that employer information, your employer may be listed under a doing business as name rather than their legal corporate name, or it might be under the corporate name and not the name that's on the front of the building. So you want to be aware of that. That's why we make sure you have all your employer information. Maybe have your last paycheck, usually it'll have that information on it right there. And you can say, I work for XYZ company, not Tony ABC. And you say, oh, it's Tony ABC is the corporate name. So you've already got that information. We've already got your wages in the system, and that makes the wage processing side go so much smoother for us because we've already got that information. We don't have to take the time to go and ask for that. So very important when you're updating your employment there that you're paying attention to those pre-populated employers there. And then once you've got that employment information in, there's a few more questions that come up. regarding the separation and your employment status eligibility questions. But very important, when you get to the end of your application, there is a screen that allows you to review your information. Just take a minute or two at this time before you submit the claim and double check that information that you provided to us. If you can catch a mistake before the claim submitted, it's going to save you a headache down the road. It's less work that we have to do chasing you down to get an answer to a question or reaching out to an employer or you having to go back in and update that information yourself. So just take a minute or two, review everything. If there's something that needs to be changed, you can modify that information. It's going to show you all of your answers that you've given to us to these questions that we've asked in the application process. Remember, our goal is the same as yours. We want you to file your claim, certify for benefits each week, and receive payments as soon as possible. So if you've got all that documentation and information that you need for the claim up front, that's going to be the number one factor that makes your claim filing go smoothly and result in the payments without any kind of delay. So once you've gone through that, verified that information, you submit your application, you're going to get a page that is basically just telling you, reconfirming that your claim has been processed, your claim has been sent in. On that page, don't skip that page either. There's a lot of very good information that's going to be very helpful to you. There's a bunch of different links there that you can explore with information about what your next steps are, the unemployment process. There's a claimant guide on there, a lot of very useful information on there for you that can give you answers to some common questions right there. So be sure to check out that final screen. So. Okay, so I think that concludes the presentation here on filing a claim effectively. I'm going to throw this back to Charlie.
Thank you so much, Hal. I want to bring it back to our online questioners. You know, I'm seeing a lot of questions from people about getting busy signals when they try to certify their claim over the phone today. Hal, can you provide some advice on what those people should do?
Yeah, so we've gotten word this afternoon that the teleclaims line, certifying for benefits over the phone, people are getting a busy signal. This is because Verizon is oversubscribed today. It's not just calls to us in unemployment, but it's total number of telephone calls. So I want to emphasize you can still certify for benefits online. You can do that. No busy signals online. If you're not able to get through today on the certification over the phone and that's your only option, don't worry. You can certify tomorrow. You don't have to do it on Sunday. You've got the entire week to call in and certify for your benefits as long as you get it done before Saturday afternoon.
Thank you so much, Hal. Before we conclude, I want to send it back to Secretary Acosta for some closing remarks.
Thank you, Charlie, and thank you, Hal, for helping us today, answering some questions. I hope we were able to answer all or most of your questions, but if you need additional assistance from us, please go to mass.gov/DUA and fill out our contact form, and we'll get back to you as soon as possible. Also, remember that we will be hosting these town halls daily over this coming week, and if you'd like to sign up, please go to mass.gov/unemployment/town hall. I also want to remind all the callers on the phone that Massachusetts has another resource for you to take advantage of if you have a COVID-related question that has nothing to do with unemployment. The resource of 211 is up and available, so please take advantage of that if you have a non-unemployment related question. I really want to thank all of you that joined us today. I know these are really difficult times, and we all are working really hard to make sure that all your claims are processed as quickly as possible. We know the urgency, we know the need, and we really, really thank you for your patience, and we're trying our best to get to you as soon as we can. So thank you, everyone, once again, and please be safe.
Thank you, Secretary Costa. I just want to do one last reminder that if your question wasn't answered today, you can sign up for additional town halls on our website at mass.gov/unemployment/town hall. Also, I know we didn't get to every caller today, but those of you who spoke to our screeners and those of you who submitted web questions, we'll be organizing these questions and then prioritizing them for the next calls so that we get to the most pressing questions quickly. And if you have a very specific question related to your claim, I encourage you to fill out the contact form on the right-hand side of mass.gov/unemployment/COVID-19. Again, that's mass.gov/unemployment/COVID-19. In addition to the contact form, there will also be later tonight a reposting of this entire presentation and the audio from it onto the site. There's also a frequently asked question form where it has additional questions that I can help you answer, as well as a step-by-step guide to how to file an unemployment claim. And with that, that concludes this call, and thank you so much for your participation. Hey, folks.
Hey, guys. Hey.
I think we
much
did it.
Better.
Third time's a charm.
I think we did it. Third time is a charm. Thank you,
Hal.
That was great.
But I think that helped a lot of people today, Hal. I put in the text box here, Hal, because I can feel the stress level of the 20,000 plus people who joined today going down.
I certainly hope so.
I also think we got a lot of good data in here about people. And Marina, I don't know if you're on, but I saw you had a good COVID-19 specific question. I think we need, really tonight, because we're doing this again tomorrow at 9 a.m., add some more of the, what we thought were the best questions that we need to have Hal start getting prepped on answers to. So we can go over some tomorrow, some of the big questions that we went over today. I'm not quite sure we go through the full step-by-step presentation, but, we can discuss that. But I think it'd be good to kind of pull some top questions that we haven't even considered or answered yet and really get some good scripts for those, too. Any other questions or comments?
Hey, Charlie, it's David James. Just one thing you might want to contemplate a little bit is the survey questions for the dial-in folks. If there's a way to simplify that, you'll get a lot of data.
Yeah, I think so. I think I'm going to make that 5 because I don't want to go through 8, but I didn't want to confuse that. So I think I might just drop that back down to just 5 questions to go over at the top that people can dial in. I think that's a good point. I wish I would have had it for this one. There's a lot of things I wish I would have done. But, any other?
Did an awesome job. I think the hour went pretty fast.
Can our screeners join us or no? Are they not? They're not on.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Basically, I'm gonna unmute everybody. Yeah.
Just unmute people so we can get feedback. Yeah. Thank you.
Screeners, thank you all so much. We can hear you, Cheryl.
We can hear all of you guys.
Okay. Good. Hey. Oh, boy.
Well,
yeah.
I thought, Serena, I don't know if you heard me say that. I know you had a great question about a COVID-19 specific, but if you could package that up and send it to Hal, and me, I'd like to get that, because you're right. There's the COVID-19 specific kind of stuff you should do.
Yeah. Just really quickly, it says when I look at the screen right now that everyone is on music hold. Should they be told that the program is over? Because it's still giving us the option to screen them.
I said the call concluded at the end before going back to the hold music.
Okay.
But FLS, can we just end the call? Is that possible?
If you
will it cut us off, too?
Yeah, it'll cut us off.
Oh, this end us, too.
That's fine. We can call back in a different number, guys. I don't want people thinking that we're...
Secretary, how about I just send a response back to that larger group with your call-in information, and we'll huddle back up.
You have it?
I do. I have it in my text message. I'll respond back. All right, Michael, can you do that? Can you do that, Michael? Yeah.
I can text it to you, Michael. Michael, you need me to text it to you?
If you could, please. Thanks. You could just respond back, Michael, to the the 12 p.m. Dress rehearsal invite. Thanks, all.
Yep.
Ending now.
Thank you. Goodbye. Thank you. Goodbye.